It's Cofield and Company.
Coach Oates taught me how to slow the game down from my eyes, to read ball screens like I had never been taught before. He's the best coach I've played for. That's why we're standing here today. I'm proud to introduce the new University of Alabama men's basketball coach, Nate Oates.
It's been well documented, the cancer fight that our family's gone through with my wife. She's a fighter. She's been there for us the whole time. Our family's been through some trials over these last 4 years. She's kind of drawn us closer together, and I'm so glad and thankful they could be here with us. I've become a better man, a better husband, a better father through the trials we've been through. So thank you to them as well.
Big weekend here in Vegas, Coaches versus Cancer on the ground. That the voice there of Nate Oates, going to be joined by Lon Kruger, Dana Altman, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, Frank Martin, Bruce Weber, Brad Underwood, and tons of other luminaries for this big event, a 4-day event, including golf in town. And Nate Oates is on Cofield & Company here on this Thursday. How you doing, Coach?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're good. We want to talk a little hoops, and obviously we want to talk about your involvement in Coaches versus Cancer. Most people are aware of your story, but you know, tell people your struggle with cancer. It's very close to you, and this is a great event to further raise money and awareness.
No, it's great. I mean, hopefully I'll be able to make it out there next year. I'm back in Buffalo trying to get this house ready to sell, but we been a little bit busy the last couple of months. But no, I mean, the whole cancer bout kind of has become a big part of who I am as a person, my wife, our family. So it's a little bit, we're leaving Buffalo with, obviously we got a great opportunity at Alabama, but people here at Roswell Park and Cancer Institute in Buffalo took great care of us. And, it's a good thing they do a lot of fundraising, all these different fundraisers, because the research that been done probably in the last 10 years on the type of cancer my wife had, they call it double hit lymphoma. And they told us, if she'd gotten it 10 years ago, she probably wouldn't have made it, because the research, and so much research going into cancer now that it really helped deal with this type of lymphoma to the point where now she's been cancer free for 3 years, and we're looking a lot better than we were 3.5-4 years ago.
Awesome. Very awesome. 12 years now, Coaches versus Cancer event here in town has raised over $5 million. Last year it raised, I think it was $1.2 million. So the listeners out there who want to contribute, Las Vegas office, the phones are open, American Cancer Society, 702-798-5938. So let's talk about Alabama and Buffalo and the move and all of this. First of all, that is quite a change going from Buffalo to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's weather change, people a little different. It's good to shoot. The resources are a little bit different. We're excited about it. I've lived in Wisconsin, Detroit, Michigan, and then in New York. So I've been up north my whole life. But I'm excited. I'm excited to get down there, though. I keep looking at the weather app on my phone every morning. I've been up here in Buffalo for the last week. It's significantly different from Tuscaloosa to Buffalo.
How nice is it to be able to pack the house and to move and not include the shovels and like the windshield wipers and all that stuff?
I was texting the neighbors like, hey, do you want our snow sleds? I gotta find somebody to buy, get the I've had my snow blower since I lived in Wisconsin, so yeah, I can give the snow blower, the shovels, the sleds, all that stuff. We give it all away.
So why this job and why the SEC? Because you pretty much, not to have you coming off here as cocky or overly confident, but I think you pretty much could have landed in just about any Big Five. So why was this right for you to finally move on from Buffalo?
You know what, I wanted a place that I felt like you could win championships. And shoot, I mean, Alabama's won them in about every other sport. I mean, you get down there, obviously football, everybody knows about that, and that's as high level as you're going to get with Coach Saban. But I like, the resources are there. The SEC is a great conference. The resources to be able to get done what you need to get done. I mean, they're redoing everything. Football stadium, the basketball arena, they're redoing it. They're in the middle of a big $600 million fundraising campaign. I mean, it's good. Plus, It's a great place to raise your family. There were some other jobs that were open this cycle, or that were rumored to be open, or that, you know, I might have had a possibility shooter that they talked to my agent. Me and my wife talked. I got three girls that are all, they're 15, 9, and 6, and we wanted a place that we felt comfortable raising a family too. So we felt great about Tuscaloosa. Greg Byrne, you know, everybody I'd talked to that knows anything about college athletics that knew him spoke really highly of him. The entire situation, we just thought it was a good fit.
That's the voice of Nate Oates joining Cofield and Company here on this Thursday. How hard is the other side of it, though? You know, you make a commitment to a school, you're making commitments to the kids on the Buffalo team. It's got to be rough. I mean, it's rough for any of us to leave jobs because you feel a certain sense of loyalty to your employers. How tough is that?
Oh, it was real hard. I mean, you know, we built a really good program at Buffalo, and, you know, you recruited those kids in, you went to war with them. You know, I really didn't plan on leaving. This house I'm trying to get ready to sell here, we bought it last August. It was kind of our dream home, and we really didn't plan on, you know, and some people say that's stupid, you know, based on our success, but I really would have been comfortable staying at Buffalo long term. You know, shoot, the night before I interviewed with Greg Byrne, I spoke to Mark Few for a half hour. I talked to Brad Stevens for 20 minutes, just really picking their brain on why they decided to stay. Really, really hoping they'd talk me into just deciding to stay at Buffalo. And they were both great, but it's just different situations, what they had versus what I had and what was available and on the table. So it ended up, but I really was trying to stay here as much as possible. So when you had to have the meeting, you had to tell the kids face-to-face that you weren't going to be here any longer. That was tough because those guys, I felt like they'd run through a wall for you, and that's why we were so good. So to let them know that, you know, you're leaving, it just, it's a different feeling. It's that's not a fun meeting. So those are not, you know, I hope I don't have to do that very often or shoot ever again. At some point, you will. If you retire, you got to do it. But I'd rather not have too many of those meetings.
Coach, you talked about those opportunities and, you know, kind of weighing that decision, how difficult it was. Is there any small part of you that sees John Beilein leave the other day and said, man, maybe if I waited a little bit, that was a job that could have been interesting?
You know what? Because I was in Detroit at Rhinebeck High School for 11 years, and I one of my former assistants there is Saadi Washington, who's been with Beilein the longest in Michigan. You know, that's been brought up a lot, like maybe I should have waited. And you know what? I don't even feel that way, to be honest with you. Like, Michigan's a great job. Obviously, it's one of the top jobs in the country. And had that job been open before I took the Alabama job, you know, I probably would have been interested in it. But I'm a firm believer that God's got a plan for our lives. And if I was meant to be the coach at Michigan, and who knows, Michigan may not even want me. Like, I'm not even assuming that. But if that was in God's plans, that job would open 2 months ago. Like, Alabama opened when it opened, and that's the right job. And I'm not turning around thinking about what could have been, should have been. I'm super happy at Alabama. I think we can build something real special. We're in some great recruits. We got a great roster for next year. So no, I'm not. There's no second guessing any of that. I'm happy where I'm at, and I love it at Alabama.
As someone from Ann Arbor, I'll speak for the whole fan base and say we definitely would have wanted you, but we're happy that you're happy as well. Have you had a chance to put in perspective? I mean, you were in Romulus only a couple of years ago, and now you're the coach at Alabama. You've got, you know, obviously the money's nice, but it's just this career path has been so insane. Have you had a chance to even think about where you've been these last few years?
You know what? I do a little bit. Sometimes you just get busy with the job and you can't really think about, you know, but it is a little crazy. I mean, shoot, 6 years ago, you know, in the middle of May, I was teaching a stats course back at Romulus. So I think it's good, though. It's good for all the high school coaches, junior college coaches, small college. I mean, there's, you know, you work hard. I'm not saying everything I've done is right, but I think I have worked pretty hard and worked hard to develop the right type of relationships. And shoot, who knows what happens. It's kind of the American dream and the American way, and it's it's a little bit crazy, but it's definitely doable. So I'm gonna work hard at Alabama, and not to the point I just want to keep the job. You know, I did let my teaching license expire for a minute there. I was you know how the college coaching goes. You want to have something to fall back on. So I've burned the bridges, so to speak. I can't go back to that. I let the teaching license expire. I got to make it here in college coaching.
I like how you downplay it there. You're like, it gives hope to every teacher out there. Like, I can tell you, like, I'm getting pretty old here, so for me to remember a teacher's name is pretty amazing. I really like my trig teacher, right? Mr. Finkelstein. But I never looked at Mr. Finkelstein, and I was like, you know what? That guy's going to coach someday in the SEC. I think it's like 6 years from now he's going to coach. I mean, the story's amazing. This is nuts.
Yeah. It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different. I love it. So what do you have to do to build a winner at Alabama? It's not like you're walking into a program that, you know, it has been moribund, a bad program. Avery Johnson was doing a pretty good job there. So what do you have to do to make it into one of the elite programs? And, you know, we ask this all the time of the coaches who take jobs, B-ball jobs at football schools. That's not a bad thing, right? All the resources for football must be unbelievable help for you on the basketball side.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing to go to a football school. If you're the type of coach that wants all the attention on you and everybody focused on you for 365 days a year, then you should probably go to a Big East school where they don't have football. But I'm not really like that. I'd like to do a great job, win a lot of games, and let Coach Saban get all the attention. I'd like to work in the background a little bit, you know, and just get some work done. But I shoot, the resources there are unbelievable. When football is winning at the level they've been winning at for the last 12 years, I mean, the resources are going to only get better. So I think, and you're right, they spill over too. Like, I mean, the athletes' dining hall in Alabama is ridiculous. It's something like I've never seen. That's my favorite restaurant in town. I'll eat there before I go to most of the restaurants in Tuscaloosa. I'm sure that was mainly designed for football, but the rest of us get to use it right alongside with them. So there's a lot of stuff you get the advantages of with having a football program like Alabama's.
You can't get good wings in Tuscaloosa, though.
Not quite the same as Buffalo.
No. That's true. Now, I had a bit of an obsession with your team this year, and I wanted to do like 20 minutes on the Northern Illinois game and how that went wrong, but we won't do that. But you guys ran into Texas Tech, obviously, in the tournament. Did you know just how good they were going into that game?
No, I thought we could beat them, and then lo and behold, we really couldn't. It was pretty dang good. I mean, it's like, I'll say this: defensively, they were an absolute monster. I mean, they were so good and so tough. They had, I think, what they have, four seniors, two fifth-year guys, if I remember right. It's all off the top of my head. But they were really old, which helps with on the defensive side of the ball, just being that mature and experienced. And, you know, when you watch them on film, it's not like they had any, you know, outside of the young kid, they didn't have any guaranteed pros. So, like, all those seniors were really solid, but they weren't guaranteed pros. So you felt like this wasn't like we lost to Kentucky in the round of 32 the year before, and they were ridiculously talented. It's not, but going into it, it's not like, okay, they got four pros on the floor, five pros. Like you didn't feel like that. But man, once you got into it, it's so hard to score on them. And they were hitting tough shots, too. It didn't turn out to be too bad of a loss looking at how far they ended up going there in the tournament.
Yeah. You feel like in some ways Chris Beard is at the forefront of a different way of roster building. I saw someone talking about his JUCO background and that maybe with the transfer portal that some coaches now are just fine, like Chris Beard, with basically having like 8-9 new guys every year because that was what he experienced at JUCO.
Yeah, I would rather not do it that way, to be honest with you, just because, I just won with guys that I was with for 4 years, 3 years, two, you know, we kind of built it up. We had five seniors, and ideally, you know, you do it that way. We're not even at Buffalo, though, we did have, you know, our five seniors. We had two that were with us 4 years, one that was with us 3 years, and one or two of them for 2 years. So even there, I mean, we took junior college transfers. We didn't take as many four to four transfers, but I think transfers are definitely becoming much more prevalent. And shoot, when Texas Tech goes to the national championship game with a bunch of transfers, it's, you know, it ends up being looking like that's not a bad option to go with. And shoot, I mean, I just saw Virginia took a junior college kid. I mean, like, I think everybody's opening up to different ways of doing it, and you're just going to have to look at all possible ways, whether it's a 4-to-4 transfer, a grad transfer, a sit-out transfer, a junior college transfer, whatever it is. I think you got some of the best roster you can each and every year, but you know, I think a little bit of everything.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Yeah, we appreciate the time. We're glad your wife is doing well, and you know, thanks for coming on and talking about Coaches versus Cancer. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. Thanks.
There you go. Thanks, Nate Oates.